don't want to happen is for this virus to spread around again, because everyone, because someone who has been home and hasn't been allowed to come out for such a long time, but is still weathering the storm, goes and spreads it to one person, to another person, then all of this outbreak happens all over again. So I am being a little bit precautious and I'm being a little bit careful. By all means, please continue to pray and present this situation to the Lord, and also our congregation, our leadership team, and the whole congregation itself, and yourself also. But in the meanwhile, I thank you for joining us here and taking the time to listen to the studies here this evening and listen to God's Word. You know, in this time that we have been in seclusion, per se, in quarantine, I have developed a faith and a knowledge of the Lord that is different than before. And I'm very thankful for that. I am. And this is what I have been trying to impart in you and share some of the things that the Lord has given me and has opened my eyes to see. So all of these Bible studies that we have and all of these teachings and services, they're for the edification of the body of Christ. They're for us to get closer to God and to hear from Him and to receive an answer and for the Lord to move in miraculous ways in us. And things that we need to do to comply to God's wishes and to understand His motives and His purpose in our life, and for us to grow closer to Him and develop and grow. And so I thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit, and I thank Him for the opportunity that He has given me to share certain things with you. And it is my wish, 100% wish, that you are blessed every single time you tune in and partake of the services here at BCFC. So hopefully sooner than later, we will all be gathering again, once again, in the house of the Lord and worshiping. Praise God. Let us start with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for another day that you have given us. Another beautiful day, Lord, that you have blessed us with. We exalt your holy name, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your presence near us. And thank you, Lord, for your love that surrounds us and your grace. We thank you, Lord. We thank you so much. And Lord, I pray that you will open up our minds and our hearts to receive the word that will be coming through this evening. Be glorified, Lord, this evening. May your people, Lord, see you, not me. May they see you and you alone. We worship you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So, the title of my sermon this evening is actually in a form of a question. And this is the question: do we serve God the way that God wants to be served? And there are several stories in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament that reference us serving God. And certain situations were great, were fruitful, the Lord blessed. And others, people lost their lives, some were rejected. Things were simply not done the right way. And I know that every single one of us is supposed to serve God. If you are a follower of Christ, As a matter of fact, all Christians know that they are supposed to serve God. We all know this. We all know that we are servants of the King. Some people reserve to think that they are children of the King. And there's nothing wrong with that. We are God's children. Yes, we are. But I also serve my parents, and I still do every opportunity I get. My mother tells me, take out the trash, I take out the trash. You know, gray in the head or not, I still serve. I serve my earthly parents, and I try to always be compliant to their needs and to my mother's needs. But we all know that we're supposed to serve God. And the question here lies on, do we do it with a whole heart, with a pure heart, with the right intentions, with the right motives? But we all know, every single one of us know, that we serve a higher being. His name is the Lord, the Great I Am, our Heavenly Father, our Lord Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is here on earth to guide us through different steps of life and through different ways and in every single aspect of life, even showing us how to pray. And fearing God and to keep His commandments is what's instructed in the Word of God. For this is the whole duty of man. The whole duty of man is to fear the name of the Lord, is to fear Him, and to obey the statutes and the rules and the regulations and to obey the things that the Lord has set in place. And to bring your attention to that, I want to bring up the first verse here this evening, which comes from Ecclesiastes 12:13. And it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, which is, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. In certain translation, you're going to find this is man's all. You're going to also find this is man's duty, obligation. So this is what we are supposed to do. We fear God. And if you think about it, it says, well, Pastor, what exactly do you mean when fear God? Well, if I know that I'm going to get my rear end spanked if I touch this thing that I'm not supposed to touch, then if this has happened before, I'm going to think about that pain, right? I'm going to remember my backside burning a little bit, right? And so I'm not going to do it because I have fear of the consequences. I have fear of the punishment. And it's not, I'm not trying to imply that we should walk in detriment of God or anything like that. Not at all. But ultimately, there are consequences, some drastic consequences to our actions, to our wrong actions. If we do things, if we knowing and willingly do things against God's will and against God's word. So because I fear the wrath of the Lord, because I fear the consequences, what might happen to me, because I fear what's going to happen afterwards, I refrain from doing certain things. I keep myself from doing certain things. What I once used to do, I no longer do because I'm a new creation. I've been paid for. I've been bought with the blood of Christ. So the fear of God and the keeping of His commandments is a must for every single one of us. Man's duty is to obey God. And God's duty is to provide salvation for us. And God's good for it. The Lord said, if you do this, 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 and this, you will be blessed like this, this, and this, and this, to the point of such and such, which is like way over your head, dude. And then you're going to be blessed some more, right? But if you don't do that, then you're not going to have salvation. You won't have this. You'll be cursed. It's not going to look good to the point that you're like, whew, you're swallowed up in it. So God provides salvation for us. He promises us. Now, what are some ways in which we can serve God? The title here this evening, once again, is Do We Serve God the Way That God Wants to Be Served? Let us realize that there are right ways and not so right ways in serving God, and wrong ways. And obviously, the right ways will please God, and the wrong ways will make Him upset. And to illustrate today's Bible study, which I'll try not to drag it out, I've been getting carried away here the last few sermons. I thought this would be like a 30, 45 minute ordeal, and then it goes on to an hour and 20. But anyways, to illustrate, let us look at the book of Malachi. This evening, I'm going to be pretty much covering the whole third chapter. You thought I was going to say the whole book of Malachi, but no. Definitely won't be a 30 minute, 45 minute sermon. Let us look at Malachi chapter 3 and notice some facts pertaining to serving God. A lot of us have read, have quoted, a lot of us know some key verses in Malachi chapter 3. And we are going to cover a couple of them. But this is all on the basis of serving God. So we're going to cover the entire book of Malachi 3, the entire chapter, I'm sorry, of Malachi 3, which has 18 verses. We're going to go one by one. I'll give some brief evaluations and then moving forward. So we're going to start with Malachi 3, verses 1. And it says this, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom you seek, will suddenly come to his people, even the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." Amen. The promise of the Messiah and his announcer is what we just read right now. And notice that a clearing away will take place, right? What must be removed, potentially, might ask? Everything that will bring about a pure heart receptive to God and His Word. Jesus is coming to God's temple. And this is what the introduction here to Malachi 3:1 speaks about. And now, moving on to Malachi 3, verses 2 and 3. And it says, But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. That's two big words right there at the end of that verse. In righteousness. The day of the appearing of the Lord will be both an awesome and a terrifying day. Our Lord God and Jesus will remove all filth. And what do I mean by filth? Sin. Will remove all sin from the temple of God. And now, what exactly do you mean by that, Pastor? The heart where he dwells in is what I mean when I say the temple of God. All sin, all brokenness, all corruption removed. And God will start, as it's mentioned here, with the Levi family or the Levi tribe, however you want to think about that or translate that. They were responsible for the worship of the Lord. And worship to God must come first in our lives. It must come first from our daily living, the way that we live, coming from the heart. And now moving on to verses 4. And it says, then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. The offering is equated with services right now. And this is part, and hence the title to the sermon here this evening, are we serving God the way that we're supposed to? The way that God wants to be served. Right now, the offering that is being referred to right now is services to the Lord. It will be pure and offered with a pure heart and also with pure motives. This is the way God commanded it way back when He instituted this form of worship. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all that you are. This is how you will love the Lord, and you will serve Him in that manner, and not in any other manner. And here the Bible says that the Lord, it will purify us from all of that and purge us from that. But a pure offering with a pure heart and motives is what's the topic right now. This is the way God commanded it way back then. And in Jeremiah 6:16, it says, seek the old paths, stand in the old ways, and it will be good for us. I don't have that in the verse list, which is perfectly fine. But the old ways, how the Lord originally intended things to be all along, He will bring back to that. And this is a little stem from this morning, and the thing that, and something that I had elaborated on, was how sometimes the Lord uses our tribulations and our trials and our difficulties to refine us. When we go through the furnace of life, when the heat gets hot and things get very uncomfortable, this is when the Lord is purifying. He's removing the impurities. And this is when we come and we submit to Him and we give in to His orders and instructions. Sometimes the Lord is trying to teach us humility, humbleness. Sometimes He wants to remove our stubborn ways out of the way so that way we can worship Him in a different way. That way we can grow in our faith. That way we can go back to being dependent on the Lord our God. Now, let's move on. We're going to move on to verses 5. And I will come near you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien, because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. Our Lord God will come near once again, as the Bible says. And our Lord God will judge everyone. The sinners for wrath and the righteous for eternal life one day. Now, whether one believes in God or not, it really doesn't matter. Whether you believe this is going to take place or not, it doesn't matter at all, because God is still going to judge them in righteousness through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through our God, through the Lord Jesus, the Heavenly Father is going to judge. Our Lord paid the price. He established everything. He put His promises and His words down. And if we don't do things and follow things the way that they're supposed to, we will be judged accordingly. Moving on to verse 6. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. One thing is for sure. God does not change, period. End of story. He is the same today, He was the same yesterday, and will be the same forever. That's just what it is. Men try to change the image of God into something that He is not. God is true to Himself, and God is faithful to His words. 100%. And God cannot lie. His words from the Bible must be respected without any sort of compromise whatsoever. There is no use of changing the rules, bending the rules. There is no use in to try to forge something or try to create a specific doctrine to something, because that's not going to happen. God does not change. And this is what we have to understand. When we serve God, we serve exactly down to the letter, down to the comma, the colon, the semicolon, the period, and the exclamation points. That will not change at all. Now moving on to verse 7. Yet from the day of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? God's people have turned away from Him for generations, for a long time. And a renewal and revival is needed all the time. I recently spoke about this, where the way that we need to live our Christian walk, the way that we need to see things, is as if we are constantly plugged into Him. Constantly. There are some people who are what I had called jumpstart Christians. You come in for a jumpstart, for a boost, and then, yes, and things are going, and then they diminish again, right? So then they come back and they get a boost. Now, I'm not talking bad about it, but how great will it be if we're constantly connected with Him and nothing veers us away and nothing pulls us to the left and pulls us to the right whatsoever. And here in this particular illustration, the people of God had gone away from his word, away from His commandments, and it got down to generations onto generations. To the point where as though they came to exile, the Lord punished them because they weren't serving God the way they were supposed to. And therefore, a renewal was needed and a revival was needed. We must encourage others to be faithful to God all the time. All the time. You who are strong in God, you who are strong in your faith, you know your God. You know the word of the Lord. Be a helping hand. Be a shoulder for someone who's going through something. Someone who needs to hear the word of the Lord. Someone who needs a word of encouragement. Somebody who needs to feel God's love and God's compassion. You could bring it to them. Praise God. We must encourage others. And if we will repent and turn to God, God will restore blessings far above what we desire, far above everything else. far above what we could even imagine. And right now I am on verses 8, yes? Verses 8 and 9. Thank you. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. Big exclamation point there, with capital M for me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Whoa. Whoa, dude. How about that? I don't want to get too deep into tithes and offerings right now. I will be talking about it potentially next Sunday morning, if not the following Sunday morning, but I'll try to talk about it next Sunday morning, depending on how service goes. But we rob God when we fail to serve Him properly. And right now, we see one of the ways that those people back then failed to serve Him. And the Lord is saying that you are robbing Him. When you know His doctrine, when you know His truth, and you know the commandment, and you say, the tenth of your first fruit is mine. The first fruit of the womb is mine. Even the first fruit of the beasts, of the cattle, that belongs to me. A tenth of your grain, a tenth of your produce, a tenth of the best that you have. The first 10%. And the Bible says the offerings. There's an and in there. There are two things being spoken about. When we don't do things the way that we're supposed to, and we cut corners, and say, the bills are kind of tight this month, I'm going to give 5%. But Lord, consider it as an offering. The Bible here is saying that we're robbing. Oh, man, we're robbing God. And this goes back to the title of the sermon here, Are We Serving God the Way That We're Supposed To? And we fail Him when we don't do things properly, in the proper way. We rob God when we follow the precepts of men and their personal doctrine. We rob God when we do not support His followers, when we don't support His ministry. And we rob God when we go through the motions of worship without putting our hearts into it. When we don't give God priority, 100%, your whole heart, we are robbing God. And why am I saying this? When I was reading this particular passage, I remember of a particular passage in the book of Matthew that parallels this passage. And why am I saying that we rob the Lord when we don't serve Him with a whole heart? Read with me Matthew chapter 6, verses 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. For where your treasure is. Now, let's look at this at face value, right? I'd venture to say that every single one of us have a bank account. And I say that potentially most of us have more than $5 in that bank account. Potentially you might have one whole pay period there or a couple pay periods there. Potentially you might have savings of a significant amount, whatever it might be. And living in today's day and age, which is an age of technology, I'm quite certain that most of us might have an app to your bank on your phone. To where periodically, and what I mean periodically, meaning once a day, you log in into your app on your bank account and you check and make sure that it's supposed to be what it's supposed to be. Why? Because that's where your treasure is. Because you guard it. Because it takes precedence. Because it's what's sustaining you at the moment. It's what pays the bills. It's what pays for the groceries, the mortgage. Is what puts gas on your vehicles, whatever it might be. So you treasure it. So that's where your concern, that's where some people is even a priority, to always have a handle on that. So that when you don't serve the Lord your God with all of your heart, that includes your treasury. That includes the things that some people value the most, and that is their wealth. Now, there's nothing wrong with wealth. The Lord instructs us and tells us that we are going to be prosperous, that He will bless us, that blessings will overtake us, it will overpower us. It'll like borderline weigh us down, so much blessing. But nonetheless, we must serve God properly, the way that He wants to be served. And when we don't serve Him the right way, here in the book of Malachi, our Lord God Himself is saying that we are robbing Him. And hence why I say that we must worship Him with all of our hearts. Putting in our entire hearts into it, which means how even what we value, our most valuable possessions. Praise God. I don't want to get stuck right here on verses 8 and 9 because potentially I can. But let's move on forward. Let's continue reading verses 10 and 11. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. That there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that there, verse 11, that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts, says the Lord. Now, notice one thing here, what the Lord is saying. And this ties in very much to the sermon that I shared with you this morning. Right now, the Lord God issues them a challenge. What exactly do I mean by that? A test. A test. Now, I'm going to ask you a question right now. Do you think the Lord is hurting for potato chip money? Absolutely not. Oh, no. The Lord created the trees for the dollar bills. The Lord doesn't need money. He doesn't need your financial gains. This is literally a test. A test of your faith. A test of how faithful we are going to be with Him. Are we going to serve Him wholeheartedly? This is the challenge that He offers them right now, that He presents to them. If you will bring your tithes, I will bless you right away, is what the Lord is saying. And you will know it. It will be undoubtedly, unquestionably, without a shadow of a doubt, you're going to feel it. You're going to be blessed. Upon seeing the response of God, the children of Israel should have pursued a greater righteousness, because greater blessings would come. God would protect His children once again. He is challenging them. He is giving them instructions. And now, bringing it over to our day and age, from back then, from when this first happened now to us in our particular situation, this is the challenge that the Lord has for us right now. This is the test. Try the Lord and see that He is good and faithful and just, and that He just won't open up windows of blessings and pour upon us. And the Bible says that He will devour, He will rebuke the devourer, that He's going to rebuke the one that saps away all of our blessings. This is a great word for a time such as this right now, when a lot of us have been furloughed, have been without work. The Lord has a blessing here for us. The Lord has a challenge for you and I here this evening in His Word. And now moving on to verse 12. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Once the nations hissed and despised the ruins of Jerusalem and Judah, the other nations knew that such a calamity could fall upon a people who turned their back against their God. They knew what's up. Once the people started serving God properly again, the other nations would know it. And as a result, ultimately, the name of the Lord would be glorified as a result. And now moving on to verses 13 and 14. Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is useless to serve God. What profit it is that we have kept His ordinance and that we have walked in as mourners before the Lord of hosts. The people have complained that they appear to be wasting their time by serving God in this particular moment. Their attitude of arrogance says, why doesn't God bless us? Ultimately, this is what they're saying. And what I'm trying to prevent you from ever thinking, from ever saying, are just these words. Why doesn't God bless me? Why are things not going right? Why? Could it be that the Lord could be refining you? Could it be that He wants to teach you something? Could it be that you are robbing God? Borderline being disobedient. And yet, they should have known by listening to the prophets that to receive blessings, they would have to depart from their sins. And this they were not willing to do at that particular time. Now, going back to today's day and age, you have Bible studies. You have the Word of God that's coming through. Very shortly, we're going to have fellowship with one another. The Lord instructs, the Lord teaches, the Holy Spirit convinces and speaks to you. And now the question is, are you willing to oblige? Are you willing to serve wholeheartedly? Not just what you might have listened to on YouTube, or what you might have listened to on internet radio, or what you might have heard some philosophy or doctrine somewhere else, what the Word of God is saying. Will you rely on that? Moving on now to verses 15. And it says, so now we call the proud blessed, for those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. The ones who were supposed to receive blessings had not done what they were supposed to do. They are accursed, while the wicked nations around them have the appearance of being blessed, of having blessings, because they are in better shape than the Israeli people. It seems like the wicked ones are getting away with their wickedness, while the Lord our God is punishing the Israelites by making them do things they do not want to do. And sometimes every single one of us have had that thought. That person, they do nothing but this, this, that, and the other, which is totally contrary to the Word of God, but they got it going on, and why is it that I cannot prosper? I cannot move forward. Here is a classic example. Well, such and such and such and such is always stirring up trouble. They're always gossiping. They're always talking bad about somebody. They're always fighting somebody else, but yet they get the promotion. They're the ones that move up, and here I am stuck in this place. Have you ever been there? I think we've all been there. And here's the example to what's going on. Here is a clear, vivid picture in what you should be doing. The Lord our God Himself says it. Those that are wicked, they're getting away with all of that, while you right there, you're being disobedient. You are not serving me the way that you're supposed to. That is one of the reasons why we come across a lot of our troubles. This morning I had mentioned that we live in a wicked-filled world, that sometimes things happen to us as a result of people doing things to us, and we are sheer victims of circumstances. But a lot of times, we bring it upon ourselves. And we bring certain tribulations and certain things that are not supposed to, based upon us and our hard-headedness and our stinginess, our laziness, not serving God the way that the Lord wants us to serve. Blessed be His holy name. Let's move on to verse 16. Step ahead of myself here. Verse 16 says, then those who fear the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on His name. Wow. Though the majority failed to serve God properly at that time, there were a few who decided to serve God from the bottom of their heart, and praise God for them. And God wrote their names into a book of remembrance. This will be one of the books opened in the great judgment day, as it's read in Revelation chapter 20. And don't forget, there's also a book for those who have rejected God. There's also a book on them. And now moving on to the final two chapters of Malachi 3. And it says, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Look at that. A son serving a father. And now verses 18 says, then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. God's people will be his, and they will serve him from their hearts and in truth. If this happens, people will know the difference between right and wrong. These days, we wonder if anybody knows the difference. These days, I wonder if people are doing things that they're supposed to. And a lot of people wonder why they are in a particular situation. I hear it from time to time. The righteous will have a reputation of serving the Lord, and the wicked will not. And hence the question here, are we serving the Lord the way that the Lord wants to be served? Are we serving God the way God wants to be served? And to conclude all of this, there might be several ways in which we can serve God. Some ways are negative, and certainly God will not be pleased by our attitudes, by our way of thinking, by our form of thinking, by our form of doing things. Yet, if we serve God and keep His commandments and do our best to serve Him in humility and in righteousness, in His righteousness, we can not only be saved, but we can be blessed beyond what we can imagine. And now the question begs, how have you served God? How have you been serving God? And will you do something different from this moment out? Praise the Lord. Let's conclude with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, at this moment, right now, this very moment, that we will make a decision, a conscious decision of giving you 100% of the best that we are. 100%, Lord, coming from the heart. I pray, Lord, that for those who do not hold you at high regard, I ask, Lord, that you will speak to them, that you will visit them. And for those, Lord, who might be wondering, why is it that I cannot move ahead? Why is it that the circumstances are that the way they are? I pray that the Holy Spirit will open up their minds and their eyes to see what they need to do to make things right with you. Lord, we want to serve you with all of our hearts, with humility, with honesty, with purity. We want, Lord, our worship to be acceptable in your sight. Heavenly Father, please have mercy on us. Forgive us, Lord, from our sins. And I pray, Lord, that you will teach your people to serve you with all of their hearts. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your instructions. Speak to your people, Lord, as early as this evening. We bless your holy name, Lord. We glorify you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you so much for joining us here. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Oh, yes. And soon and very soon, we will also be worshiping here in the house of God. Please stay tuned for updates as far as when we're going to reopen back again. Please keep us in prayer, the congregation, the leadership team, everyone here, keep us in your prayer. There's a lot of changes that are going to happen here in the very near future. New beginnings. And we want to be led and instructed by the will, by the Lord and God's will. So please stay connected with us. I will be making announcements potentially both through the camera here, through the web, and also through our mobile app. So if you don't have our application, please download it. Or if you want to give us a call, if you want to send us an email, please do so. And be up to date with as far as what's happening. We do have a prayer chain every Saturday, and we are asking that you sign up on the online digital page. And we also have a prayer call on Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock. So if in case you'd like to have that information, we will gladly give it to you. The number that you need to dial, and also the access code that you will need to get into the conference call. Are there any other announcements? No? Praise God. Once again, I hope that the Lord spoke to you this evening. Thank you so much for joining us. I will be back on Wednesday evening. And until then, may the Lord bless you. God bless you.